This would be Adkins versus Meyer. Townsend.
Your Honor, may it please the court, counsel. My name is Carol Townsend. I represent the appellant, which is the plaintiff below, Mrs. Adkins. We are here today appealing the district court's grant of the defendant's summary judgment motion. This case involves a trip and fall in a parking lot of a Meyer store. The issue that is being presented for appeal is whether the district court erred in finding that the plaintiff did not present genuine issues of material fact precluding summary judgment on the issue of whether a defective condition existed which caused the plaintiff to fall.
What is the defective condition?
The parking lot where the plaintiff fell had cracks that had been sealed and patches of pavement that you can see the patching is uneven. There are photographs of the parking lot in the area at issue in plaintiff's separate appendix.
Are you saying that just a patch parking lot means there's a negligence on the owner of the store?
Well, they represent a dangerous condition because it's an uneven surface.
Well, but this is a 77-year-old woman chasing a runaway shopping cart or something like that, right?
Well,
that pretty much what happened here?
Well, my client denies that she was chasing but going after a cart, and had only taken a few steps for the cart. Her view of the ground was obstructed because she was pushing these carts. And lastly, in my brief, I cited numerous Indiana state law cases that show that cracks in pavement and uneven sealant are enough of a dangerous condition for a plaintiff to recover for a personal injury action in cases such as this. So there's Indiana law that supports that cracks in pavement and uneven patches and sealant can give rise to a claim for damages.
No, she didn't know what she stepped on.
No, she didn't. She did not have personal knowledge of what she stepped on. She had shopping carts that Meyer provides to its patrons that she was pushing, which obstructed her view of the ground. And then when she fell, she had a very serious shoulder injury where she fractured her shoulder in two places, fractured her nose. And in the chaos after her fall, she didn't take the time to look around and examine the ground around her. However, Meyer sent out one of their employees, a Mr. Kevin Paisley, to investigate the incident that occurred in their parking lot. Mr. Paisley observed Mrs. Adkins on the ground in the parking lot, and after Mrs.
Is this while an ambulance is coming or something?
He observed her, I believe it was before the ambulance came, and then the ambulance came and took her away, and then Mr. Paisley took photographs of the area in which Mrs. Adkins fell. And in his deposition testimony, he points to the photographs that he took and says, this is the area where she fell. And in the photographs, you can see the area where she fell also is an area which contains these cracks in the sealant and patches of pavement.
Well, these are the ones that are circled on the in the pictures?
Yes.
Yeah. The thing is that, as I understand it, obviously she's pushing two carts at once and obviously holding on to them. One of them gets away. It must have been, I don't see in here, can't tell what the trajectory is, but apparently there must have been a decline or something because it was moving by itself, as I get the description. So she moves away from the cart, lets go of it, I guess, and the process of going after it a few steps away, she said something, she stepped on something that kind of lifted her up or something. It's
her exact words, I believe, is that she felt something under her foot which caused her to be picked up and thrown.
Yeah, yeah, and that's you know, that's a fairly honest description, which I appreciate because she didn't make something up. She didn't look around and say, well, you know, I stepped on this hole or something or other. She said something picked up and throwed her, which is, you know, I'm not sure how to envision that, but obviously she fell. And once falling on, you know, 77-year-old woman falling head first, apparently, on her shoulder, she's hurt badly. And anybody who trips and falls that way in a fragile situation. But it just seems that there's nothing here that someone, you or anyone, can point to other than sort of a, you know, sort of rough parking lot with some patching, but no apparently, you know, something of a different level or a hole or something where you would find maybe they were negligent for not taking care of.
Well, we feel that a reasonable juror could look at those pictures of the parking lot and coupled with the testimony could come to the conclusion that it was a defective condition that caused her to fall.
Ms. Townsend,
yes?
Didn't she say something like there was something under the cement or something?
Well, not really. She couldn't say what it was. She said that she felt...
No. She actually said, I believe, in her deposition that it was something, there was something under the cement. And she also said, as I recall, no, it was something under my feet. About, you know, when they asked her if pushing the two carts contributed to her fall. She said, no, it was something under my feet.
Yes. She felt something under her foot, and that, whatever that was, that caused her to be picked up and thrown, the sensation of being picked up and thrown.
Well, there's something here, at least quoted in your brief, said the court saying it slipped on something like I was outside on ice, or maybe it was grease.
That's in a case that we cited. That's.
I'm sorry, that's not the same one, huh? Because I was going to say that's better than what she's got. Well, okay, I haven't read the deposition, so I can't say that. But
I. Huh.
You've obviously read the deposition.
Yeah.
And I guess you're the one that has to tell us what is or isn't in it.
Well. She doesn't know. There's no personal.
I'm sure you've
knowledge.
Got the best statement in there,
right,
in your brief.
She, you know, in the way she talks, you know, isn't very eloquent, and
okay.
She's not very clear. And so she made some kind of statement that she stepped on something under the cement, and we're not really sure what she means by that. I don't think she really knows what she means. She stepped, felt something, and then had the sensation of being picked up and thrown.
Clearly she fell,
and
it wasn't, whether it tripped over her own feet or tripped on the cart or stepped on something, we don't know. And, of course, the whole point of this is a judge has to look at this and say whether or not there's something. A jury might sit back there and look at Meyer and look at the poor old lady and say, hey, this is easy math. That's what we can't allow.
Well, there has been no testimony that she tripped over her feet. She
I know.
Never said that.
Or anything else.
Get on the cart. And so if we look at the evidence in the light most favorable to the non-movement, the plaintiff, the evidence is that she felt something with her foot and then was picked up and thrown. And there's plenty of Indiana case law which says that personal knowledge of the instrumentality which causes a person to fall is not required. I see that I'm down to my rebuttal time. I'd like to reserve the rest
okay.
of my rebuttal. Thank you.
Ms. Dean Webster.
Thank you, Counsel. Judge Rovner, in order to respond to your question, tab 5 of Appellate's appendix is Ms. Adkins' deposition, and page 40 of her deposition, lines 22 to 23, she said, quote, like I said, there was something under the cement or something. And then on page 45 of her deposition, again, line 8 through 12, she again talks about something, what was under, you know, what I was walking on, it was concrete, I just don't know. There was something underneath my feet that just threw me. Your Honors, The issues that we have before this court are the difference in federal summary judgment procedure and Indiana state summary judgment procedure. Mrs. Adkins has cited to you several Indiana cases in which the granting of summary judgment was reversed. Those are because they were Indiana state cases. And in Indiana, the burden on the plaintiff for summary judgment the burden on the movement for summary judgment is that they must establish no genuine issue of material fact. Conversely, as you know, in federal court, the movement need only state a basis for alleging the absence of a genuine issue of material fact, which is significantly different. This court has often said that the district courts are to follow state substantive law in deciding summary judgment and diversity cases, but federal procedure. And that's the issue here, is Ms. Adkins has no evidence about the burdens that she carries should this matter go to trial. And in federal summary judgment procedure, the district court judge does have to consider the substantive weight of the evidence that is presented and evaluate the sufficiency of that. But we don't have any evidence whatsoever on two of the issues that Ms. Adkins bears the burden of proving should this matter go to trial. Those two issues are, as you've already pointed out, a hazardous condition. There's no evidence that there was a hazardous condition.
Well, when you look at the pictures that were taken by the store detective and by Ms. Adkins' granddaughter, they seemed to be roughly at the same area. And why couldn't a jury infer from those rather unique patterns of sealant lines in the two sets of pictures that they are of the same area?
Judge Rovner, you're absolutely correct that the court can consider circumstantial evidence. Direct evidence or indirect evidence is permissible, and circumstantial evidence is permissible, and reasonable inferences from evidence is permissible. We don't have any of that here. What we have here are speculation, and speculation is impermissible. Because what Ms. Adkins wants the court to do is say that because we have pictures that show sealant and patching, that's a hazardous condition. That's not a reasonable inference. There's no evidence whatsoever that maintenance of a parking lot is negligence or results in a hazardous condition. She has no lay or expert testimony stating that the sealant or patching was done improperly or any criticism of the sealant or patching at all.
But you know, this thing about the expert, this idea that an expert is required to testify that a crack in a pavement is unreasonably large, isn't that sort of a straightforward common sense assessment that lay people make all the time?
Your Honor, she did make that argument that in her brief that the district court said that there must be an expert. The district court, if you'd read the order, does not say that there must be an expert. What Judge Tinder was saying is there is no evidence. There's not lay evidence. There's not expert evidence. He wasn't saying that there must be an expert, but in this case, we have no evidence whatsoever of any criticism of the maintenance that was done. The idea of the measurement was an alleged height difference because, again, in her brief, she's saying that she tripped. It's pointed out in my brief that nowhere in her testimony has she said that she tripped, and there were no witnesses, so no one else said that she tripped as well. But the height difference, if there had been a measurement that the height difference was beyond the permissible difference, it was beyond a quarter inch. But again, there is no evidence whatsoever. Additionally, there's no evidence that even if we think some kind of inference can be made from the photographs that so there's a dangerous condition, there's no evidence that Meyer failed to exercise reasonable care. They have, and it's been submitted to the court, their maintenance manual. They hired an outside firm, F.E. Harding. Surely that shows reasonable. But secondly, that's just whether there was a breach of duty. Secondly, the appellant has the burden of proof, should this go to trial, to show that the breach proximately caused an injury. And there's no evidence whatsoever that if there was any breach, if there was something wrong with the sealant, if there was something wrong with the patching, that that caused her fall. She has repeatedly stated in her testimony that she felt something under her foot. She did not describe being tripped. She never uses the word being tripped.
Oh, no, don't. That argument, that's, you know, it's a reasonable inference that she felt, you know, her description certainly sounds like tripping to me. And, you know, there's no question here that this is not, you know, the world's strongest claim. But under Indiana law, am I wrong in saying that even a small bump in the pavement seems to be enough to hold defendants liable?
No, Your Honor. A small bump in the pavement is not enough to hold defendants liable. And that is where appellant is confusing. That is procedural and Indiana procedure, which is being confused with federal court procedure in summary judgment consideration and diversity matters. The procedure in Indiana for summary judgment is that the movement for summary judgment must prove there is no genuine issue of material fact, and they're entitled to summary judgment as a matter of law. Under federal court, the movement does not have that burden before shifting the burden to the appellant, and that's what happened here. The movement, Meyer, sustained its initial burden of showing that a basis exists and showing the facts of an absence of a genuine issue of material fact, any genuine issue of material fact. And in this case, there are actually three. One, that there was a breach of duty that we've already talked about, because to show a breach of duty, there must be a dangerous condition, evidence of that, and failure to exercise reasonable care. But two, which we haven't talked about, and that is that the breach proximately caused the injury. Mrs. Adkins has repeatedly stated she doesn't know why she fell. She stated that she did not see that she was stepping on the sealant or tripping over the sealant or see that she stepped on a patch or tripped over a patch. She repeatedly stated when she was asked if she saw anything on the ground that the cart was in her way and she didn't observe anything. Again, there are no other witnesses, so no one else is saying that she tripped on the sealant or on the patching. There's no evidence presented by appellant that the sealant or the patching had anything to do whatsoever with her fall. I'm happy to take more questions, but I believe the appellee's brief sets forth the facts.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You have 2 minutes, Ms. Townsend.
First thing I want to address is the issue of federal summary judgment standards versus Indiana summary judgment standards. And the case that the district court relied upon in showing the difference between federal summary judgment standards and Indiana summary judgment standards in trip and fall cases similar to this one is the Buckner versus Sam's Club case, a case decided by this court. Mrs. Adkins case is distinguishable from Buckner. Buckner, this court held that there was not sufficient evidence for the plaintiff to prevail over the summary judgment motion. The facts of that case are a lady who tripped and fell in a Sam's Club, and all she could point to was that she felt something under her foot. They looked around on the ground in the Sam's Club and couldn't find anything. There's testimony that the floor had been cleaned a couple of hours before, nothing was seen. So it was a mystery object that caused the fall in Buckner.
However, that was inside the store, too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was inside the store as well.
And there's also evidence of other things, like water may be spilled and some other
things. No, this is that's an Indiana case. That's
was it?
Max Shapiro. This is Buckner. This is a floor in a Sam's Club, and they didn't find anything on that floor, and it had been cleaned earlier. The only testimony they had was that the plaintiff felt something under her foot. Nothing was ever seen or found, no glass, no jewelry. So it was a mystery object that caused her to fall. In this case, we don't have to deal with a mystery object. We have photographs of objects on the ground that can cause a person to trip and fall. I just want to conclude by saying that Mrs. Adkins has put forth evidence to support her prima facie case of negligence and should prevail on this, and the summary judgment motion should be reversed and the case remanded to the trial court for a jury trial on its merits. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, advisement.